From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Bobby Davro, welcome to John Hannam Meets.
Well, welcome back, you're meant to say, because yes. You were my first professional interview. This will be the latest one, and basically pen the words of the song, "You're my first, you're my last, my everything." Great to be back with you.
Nice to see you. 1981, that was, Sandown Pavilion.
Now, isn't that scary? And I was on the Isle of Wight only yesterday. I've come from the Isle of Wight to come over to, and I'm just looking at your book here, chapter 24, Bobby Davro, 81. And there's a picture of me looking decidedly different to what I look like now. It's not the same man, is it, really?
I wrote, "A young man who looks certain to go to the top." That's when I reviewed the show.
Well, did it really? I remember you said some lovely things about me, and it's lovely that I'm back here after all these years. 81, so how many years ago is that?
A lot. 37, I think.
Gosh, 37 years ago.
God. We ought to say you're in Whittington at the Mayflower from December 15 to January the 6th.
The 6th. Someone told me it was the 8th. I'm telling you, maybe I'm staying on for a couple of extra days. But it's great to be back here at the Mayflower, because I managed to get on stage for all of 5 minutes last night dressed like a scarecrow, because I'd come from the Isle of Wight where I'm filming something for Channel 4 to do with camping. And so I stunk of smoke and sweat, and I must have looked dreadful, but I did walk on the stage last night. I did in 1987, I hosted a show here for when the theatre became refurbed and got a refurb back then. So it's taken me like another 30 years, isn't it, since I've been back here on that stage.
Well, first time we ever met, you were doing Johnny Mathis, Prince Charles, University Challenge.
That's me. Oh, University Challenge. Kane's going to say good. Gosh, I haven't done those for many, many, many years.
I always remember there was a lot of oldies in the audience, right? And you were so quick and so clever, they didn't always pick it up.
That's right, when I was doing Robin Williams, you know, they had no idea who I was doing. And I was always doing the current people. It wasn't the easiest of audiences to work.
No.
My initiation into performing on stage. But who was on the show?
I'll tell you who. Di Francis, Alan Randall.
Alan, I loved Alan. Hello, Bobby. How are you? Used to do George Formby, didn't he? When I'm cleaning windows. He was the most fantastic act. Then he'd bring out the big drums. What a nice man he was.
Man and Me, they were singers. Do you remember?
Man and Me used to do The Rose. They used to finish on The Rose, and I still talk about them. And she used to place The Rose on the stool as a spotlight would go down to a pin spot. They were a wonderful act.
What a memory you've got.
I have. And who's top of the...
Don McLean was there as well, wasn't
he? Was it with Don McLean or was it with The Bachelors?
I think it was... I think you did it with both, actually.
I think I did. I think it was a split season.
And then all of a sudden, you'd done sort of Up for the Cup and Starburst and things like that.
Yes.
And then, Mr. Davro, you topped the ratings, didn't you? Bobby Davro on the box.
On the box, yeah. We did, funny enough, in Southampton, TVS. So it's like a little bit like coming home. Or used to be in Southampton at the Polygon Hotel, just across the road from the theatre. And there used to be a wonderful restaurant here called La Margherita. With the marvelous Italian man. Oh, well, you're Bobby, come on in here, have a lovely time. And we used to eat here practically every night, and I still smell of garlic from it. A very happy memory Southampton brings, and I'm sure it's going to add to my memory bank here when I come up here in December.
You did Bobby Davro's TV Weekly, Bobby Davro's TV Annual, Copycats, of course.
Copycats, gosh, that is coming back, yeah.
I always remember, you won't remember this, it was one of the shows that you did on the South Coast, TV shows, and you were caught in a speed trap in a bubble car. And I always remember you got out of the bubble car and you jumped up and you were leaping around to think the thing was going over 30 miles an hour. You won't remember, that was very funny looking at it, I'll tell
you. I remember one scene we did down here where they actually invested a lot of money into it. I was doing an advert called Don't Make a Drama Out of a Crisis. I can't remember, it was an insurance thing. Don't Make a Drama Out of a Crisis. And they had a house and they set fire to the house. And I should have done it in one. And I was playing Richard III. And I was going, this house, the flames of the house come down, whatever it was, sort of Shakespearean lingo. And I messed up, kept messing up. And John K. Cooper, who was a wonderful producer, said, Bobby, you've got to get it right this time. The house is going to be burnt down by the time you finish. And I kept messing up because I was panicking. But eventually got it in the can. So.
Sort of at that stage, impressions were sort of the key to get into light entertainment, were they? A lot of you young guys became impressionists, and then you, like you moved on to other things, really.
Yes, I think that Mike Yarwood was a big influence, and I'm friends with Mike. Mike lives very locally to me, and we go out about two or three times a year. We go and have a nice curry. Mike was the king. I mean, he used to get 20 million people to watch his shows at Christmas. He was a fantastic impressionist. But he had demons inside of him as well. You know, he had a slight problem, if I'm allowed to say it, because it's been well documented. He had problems with anxiety, and he struggled with alcohol a little bit. But he was a huge influence on me, and he told me something which was very, very valid. Back in 1981, I did an audition for Opportunity Knocks and wrote him a letter, and he wrote me a letter back saying, be as original as possible, you know, and good luck with your career. And I have that letter in a picture frame, and he signed it, and I remember Mike Yarwood, and I always took that advice to be as original, and that's why they gave me, out of all the copycats, they gave me a television series, because I was always the one that would be willing to try the new impressions. I didn't want to go along with everyone else. I wanted to do the people of the time. There was Max Everyman and Alex Higgins, who got sort of famous for doing Alex sniffing and smoking ciggies and stuff like that. And I used to do the ones that nobody sort of did.
Did you ever meet Alex or not?
Oh, yeah, many times. Yeah, it was quite scary, actually.
Yeah, I bet.
Scary, because, you know, saw the impression, babe, you know, it's nice, but, you know, don't always do the sniffing, you know. it was all right with me. I had huge respect for him. He was one of my heroes.
I don't do private lives, but I just wanted to ask you one thing. You've sort of made the headlines. How do you cope with it? How have you coped with it, really?
I think being positive for many years. I think when my television career sort of came to an end, from doing what I was doing then, and it had to, things had to change. It was difficult to accept, just like a sportsman having to give up playing football or doing what they do simply because physically they can't do it as well. It wasn't the case for me. I think the thing that I miss out of doing those shows isn't the money or isn't the fame, it's the creativity, and I missed having somewhere to be creative. I remember them telling the story about Benny Hill, how he was the biggest star nearly all over the world. And then one day he went in and they said, sorry, Benny, we're not doing any more shows. It practically killed him because, you know, where do you go with all that inventiveness, with all that enthusiasm and creativity? And you've got nowhere to take it. And that hurts. It did hurt me. But I branched out into other things. I got married at the time, which was good for me. And I had children. I had a home and I was nesting there. But I still wanted to be out there performing because that's a drug to me. I love performing. And it takes time to learn all the elements of it, like the pantomime we're doing here at the Whittington, at the Mayflower. I can still learn from people. So I've been working with Steve McFadden, who's a wonderful actor. And when I did EastEnders with him, I was watching him because he's one of the guys that's been in it since the beginning. And they're so good at it. And then Sheila Ferguson, as I call her, Shirley. Don't call me Shirley, Sheila. And she's the most wonderful fairy. It's all going to be a great, great show, this one.
Vinnie Monks, wasn't it, on EastEnders?
Vinnie Monks.
Were you a taxi driver?
I was. I worked in the taxi company. My love interest was Shirley. I didn't get Ronnie or
yes.
I got Shirley! But I got on very well with her, Linda Henry, and Hev, and Cheryl Ferguson. And Cheryl, I still see a lot of Cheryl. She's a gorgeous lady.
And sort of the character of Phil Mitchell was involved a bit with her, wasn't he?
Of course, because Phil Mitchell was my love rival.
Yes.
And poor old Vinnie Monks was a bit of a loser. He had a bit of a problem with the booze back then. Can't really remember, but I know that he left brokenhearted. And it was nice to do that. I did that for 14 months. And it was a nice period of my time, but I wanted to go off and do other things. So it was a mutual understanding. But you never know, I might go back one day.
So where is Vinnie Monk supposed to be now then?
I went abroad. I went abroad with my son, played by Elliot. And I'm still in touch with him. And he's gone on to do other things like Benidorm and stuff like that. But we'd lost a bet, if I remember rightly. And I said, if we lose this bet, we have to drive around the square naked in a Cadillac, which we did, and we went abroad. So you never know, Vinnie Monks might make a return in years to come.
You've written a play too, haven't you?
I'm writing a play
yeah.
at the moment. It's an ongoing thing. I haven't had a lot of time this year to add to it, but Les Dennis is a very good friend of mine. And
lovely man, isn't he?
He's one of my dearest friends.
Do you think he's very successful, but he's been underrated at times, do you?
Yes, I do, but if you go and see him in these plays, I went to see one called At the End of the Pier, which was one of the best things I've ever seen. He was fantastic in it. And he wants to be an actor now, whereas I still want to be the entertainer. I still love doing the entertainment. He does pantomime, of course. And in fact, I'll be speaking to him next week because he's doing a TV thing. We've sort of followed a similar sort of career path. And he is a great actor now. And that's what he wants to do. Whereas I still want to... acting will come into it along the way, but I still want to be the entertainer. Pantomime is something which I've been doing. This is my 37th pantomime.
Gosh. When you did Vinnie Monks, it sort of introduced you somehow to a different audience as well, didn't it? That perhaps hadn't watched you in other things, but they watched EastEnders. And well, did that help your career?
True, yes, it did help my career. It also gave me like 10 to 15 minutes extra material, because I used to tell jokes about Shirley and Vinnie when I was on the show. And it gave me some extra material to be able to pull on. And it taught me so much. I learnt so very much. As acting is concerned, didn't pull up any trees with my character on EastEnders, but I was liked. It wasn't one of those. I wasn't a nasty nick or anything like that. And I ended up going off and doing a play several years later, which was probably one of the best things I'd done in 20 years, because it made me, it stretched me, it gave me my belief again that I could act. And so, watch this space, I'll probably turn up doing some acting somewhere else.
You've done Celebrity Big Brother and Dancing on Ice, and you've sort of varied your career, haven't you, really?
I think that's it. I think, actually, a variety of doing different sort of jobs which are associated with being a performer, it keeps you nice and fresh. And when I start to feel a bit stale, I've been doing stand-up now for so long, I feel like I'd like to go into a musical. Because we're actually a singing act, believe it or not. All the material is based around singing impressions. You mentioned the Johnny Mathis, but of course I do Elton John and people like that, Billy Joel and Neil Sedaka and Gilbert O'Sullivan and all these people, and some of the modern ones, you know. I'm doing we do Neil Diamond, which is one of my favourites.
Oh yeah.
So we do quite a lot of singing stuff. Still do the Cliffs and the Tom Jones and stuff, but still valid, and Stevie Wonders. But now we're trying to introduce a few more modern impressions. And in this pantomime, you know, a lot of people think, oh, Bobby Davra, he's the guy that did all the Frank Spencers and the Tommy Coopers, you know. No, I'm doing the Michael McIntyres, you know, you've got to do it, it's really good. And then you do the John Biffiths, you know, and Ozzy Osbourne. You know, Homie Simpsons, Homie Simpson, and you can do it. Or Julian Clary, I slipped it into that one. Oh, Alan Carter. I'm doing all the sort of contemporary impressions that feel right to do in a pantomime. And so people come along and see that. And the great thing I love about pantomime is the contact with the audience, because I'm anarchic in a pantomime. It looks like I'm just messing up all the time, but it's not really like that. It's actually a skill craft that you learn, and I'd like to think I do it pretty well after 36 years.
Telling me.
I can't get it right now. I'll never be able to get it right.
Just before I go, I was a schoolboy miler. My sort of hero was Roger Bannister. When I got to meet him, his hero was your dad.
Well, they were mutual heroes, because, of course, they were in the same relay team for Great Britain. And my father is still alive. He's 93.
Is he?
Oh, yes. And I do a little joke about him. I said he's just had a pacemaker fitted. Small Ethiopian bloke just runs alongside him. And he loves all that. But he was British mile champion.
Yeah.
He ran in two Olympics, 1948, which was London, 52 in Helsinki. He didn't win the gold medal. I think he came sixth. He got the flu, actually, which took him out of one of them. And he ran with Bannister. And on his 90th birthday, I went up to Oxford, because Roger was a doctor, of course, after he left athletics. And he was living up in Oxford, and I went and interviewed him for my father's 90th.
Aww.
And sadly, Sir Roger died.
So your name was Nankerville then, was it?
My real name is Nankerville. And it's a nice, you like this, actually, John. My father, when they say, oh, he's the father of Bobby Davro, the comedian, and whenever they ask me, I go, no, I'm the son of Bill Nankerville, the runner.
He was an amazing runner.
He was.
Thanks for your time. I know you've got a busy day ahead.
What a lovely thing. Let me have one look at this photo. I can't believe what number 24 is. It's so lovely that you've done this, you know.
Well, I like to interview people unknown, and then they hit the big time. And so there you go. You can read that on the way home.
Really? You haven't bought this in for me, have you?
Yeah, of course. That's your own personal copy.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's a real pleasure, Bobby. Oh. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you've been so nice. When did you actually do this?
It was 81, the interview, but the book's only just been out a few months, so...
Oh, what was that time then? God. What was it talking about? That was my divorce, wasn't it? And ironically, Rick Wakeman is on the opposite page, and Rick Wakeman played the organ at my wedding. Arthur Worsley. My God. I'm so going to look at this. This is fantastic.
I think you'll need it. Is that right?
Yes.
I can't wait to look at this.
Thanks, Bobby.
Have you never collected all the autographs in the book?
Yeah. You just signed a book, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, I've signed this one.
Yeah, you've done that.
I haven't signed your book.
Oh, all right.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannemey. That's right.
You've been listening to John Hannemeets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannem.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.